This is the Thursday evening Bible class with your host, author, and Bible teacher, Dr. Victor Matthews. This is the first of 10 lessons in our series, The Holy Spirit, the Believer's Helper. In this lesson, Dr. Matthews will discuss the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you'd like to follow along with our study guides for these lessons, we have them available for download. Just go to our website at drvictormatthews.org and click on the Study Guides tab, where you'll find a complete list. And now with our first lesson in the series, The Holy Spirit, the Believer's Helper, here is Dr. Matthews.
Would you take your Bible, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 14, the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. This evening, I want to start out with you on the first lesson on this great subject of the fact that as believers, we have a helper, the blessed Holy Spirit. Now, when the Lord Jesus was going to leave, in the last few hours of his life, he was very, very concerned for his disciples and for all that his disciples represented. And here in the 14th chapter of John, we have a part of what is called the farewell discourse. These are very important words. The Lord Jesus knew how weak his disciples were, and he knew how weak we are. And in anticipating the great and overwhelming problems that they would face in their lives, he states here in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known the Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." I'm sure that all of us understand the depth of the concern in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as we see it here in these great verses. And what a wonderful thing it is this evening as we've gathered here to realize that he had us in mind in his own infinite omniscience and sovereignty, and the kind of a provision he made for his own immediate disciples, he made that kind of a provision for us. And one very small but terribly important part of that provision I want to talk with you about now for these 10 weeks. The Lord Jesus prayed that the Father would give to all believers equally, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And here all of us are in this lovely auditorium. And up and down the rows, we represent a variety of backgrounds, different families, different needs, Some of us have been believers for many, many years. Some of us have gone through the new birth only recently. And yet we have all equally received the right and the privilege of having this kind of a relationship, not only with the Father and not only with the Son, but this kind of a helper in the blessed Holy Spirit of God. It's a great thing to understand that. Sometimes as we live our daily lives, we think that we're pretty much alone. All of us go through real hard times. Well, let me put you on the overhead projector again. You know, there isn't any other kind of a word that I can really start with here than you. If some of you have been coming for a number of years, realize that this is the most important word on the diagram. You. That's why all of these lessons have been prepared. Prepared with you in mind. Well, this is not really the way we are. This is only the beginning. You understand that there is a great and a glorious foundation in your life and mine. And that foundation, as you know, has to do with three tremendous foundation stones. The first great foundation stone that defines the kind of a person we are is called Jesus Christ. Secondarily, it is his wonderful work, the crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and Pentecost. And thirdly, as you know, and you've seen this diagram many, many times, it's his word. Well, here's our foundation. But that's not enough. You realize that we have a relationship with the true and the living God, so let me put that name there. And now for the lesson this evening, and that is that there has been this divine provision so that the blessed Holy Spirit will come into your life and mine. The blessed Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father all through the Old and into the New Testament. So the Holy Spirit has been sent by the Father and the Son to you to make real the person and the work and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next time you're alone and feel alone, think about that. Think about the fact that you have been brought into this living relationship with Jesus Christ, that he has given himself to you. He has made available to you in the ministry of the Holy Spirit all of his great work, and he has given you his word. And then, in order for us to understand who he is and what he has done and what he has said to us, he has given us a helper, the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Well, I want to work along on that for a little while now in this spring semester. Take your material you received when you came into the auditorium and notice on the title page, I have a concept here about the purpose of this study. I state that every Christian has an acute awareness of the need of spiritual help. We all realize that we cannot successfully live the Christian life nor effectively serve God in our own strength. It's a comfort to know that God has made every provision for us. Jesus Christ has come to us to be our representative in his sacrificial work for us. We have been blessed with every type of spiritual grace, help, gift, and enablement. These lessons have been designed to present one very important facet of God's gracious provision, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We have a helper, and he is the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Now, the implications of that, as you know, are overwhelming when we stop to think about that. How tremendous to know that we have not only this union with Christ, not only do we have the value of his life and death and resurrection and ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit, not only do we have the completed canon, the Word of God, and all of that value that works in us powerfully, we have a divine helper who will abide with us forever. One who is explained in the scripture as one who is standing alongside of us spiritually to always minister to us and to comfort us and to meet our daily need. Well, the recommendation, I would recommend that you spend at least a half hour a day studying the scripture and the lessons. Pray for illumination about character defects, sins of omission and commission, giving ground to Satan. Be honest. Accept the truth and obey God. Be willing to acknowledge and forsake all that's kept you from living in harmony with the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Trust God and ask Him to turn the searchlight of His Word upon your heart and life so that you may be rescued and enabled to live in the freedom and the liberty that He's purchased for you. Well, I want to say again, I'm so grateful that many of you have talked with me about the fact that you do follow my recommendation. And that you spend a great deal of time working in the lessons, looking up the verses, pondering the thought. Well, I'm very grateful for that. You see the study outline on page 2. Tonight, I want to talk with you about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Next Thursday, the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and then the matter of divine revelation, His work in salvation, the daily life, two of them on that, and then fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the enablement for service, and then some warnings about sinning against the Holy Spirit. Now, these 10 lessons, as you know, only scratch the surface of this great and wonderful truth in the Old and the New Testament. But I thought it well for us to settle down and to work on this, and I hope now that this will be a real help in your life. I can assure you that I'm going to be praying very, very sincerely now for you, that the Lord would enable me to know just what to do and how to prepare the lessons and what verses to choose and how to explain it and to illustrate it so that you might receive the maximum benefit of this 10-week series. Well, on page 3, we have lesson number 1, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. In the introduction, one of the most unusual characteristics of biblical Christianity is that it is always associated with power. Now, isn't that strange when you see that in the Bible? Notice the verses. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, you know in that verse, he's using the word salvation in all of the three tenses and all of the ways that the word salvation is used in the Old and New Testament. He's using it in that sense. In other words, that the gospel produces, brings into your life and mind, when we believed, the gospel produced an unlimited amount of power. Now, it's great for us to see that. Power to be born again, right. Power to be right with God and glorified, yes. But power for everything in between. All of the divine enablement and strength and wisdom and discernment that we need for the living of the Christian life tonight. No wonder Paul was sold on the gospel. Now, there's a real problem connected with this that I want to talk about very often through this week, through this series. I've mentioned it later on. I'm going to talk about it right now, and that is your basic problem and mine in regard to all of this is that we have a far too low level of expectation of what the Holy Spirit can do. All of us neglect the blessed helper that has been sent. What is really wrong in your life and mine is with our inner spiritual attitude about all of this. We just do not really trust and aggressively cooperate with the blessed Holy Spirit. Now, that's our fundamental problem. Most of us realize that. The expectancy of faith is far too low. And we're going to have to pray for one another about this. We just need to band together now that this 10-week series will just cure that in your life and mine forever and forever and forever. Notice the next verse. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." Next verse. "The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Now, isn't it striking that in so many of our churches, families, and in so many of our daily lives, that the gospel is simply the word, just the word, not power. And here Paul says the kingdom of God is not in word. He means, of course, in word only, but in power. Now, I don't mean by this that I expect us to have some sort of a great fanatical experience so that we'll live on cloud 9 the rest of our life. Not at all. The Christian life is difficult. It's hard to live, particularly with all that snow out there. It's hard to live the Christian life, and I've been the last one in the whole world that would say it's easy, but God has made a provision for us so that we can live successfully. And we have to understand that and expect Him to work and to have that kind of an attitude. Now, I would be shocked if I had a student that didn't expect me to help him. I would. It would be a very serious blow to me if there was some student that came in and was having a difficult time in class, and I'd make an appointment or catch him in the hall, and I would talk with him and ask him how it's going. He said, well, I'm not making it in class. And I said, well, why? And then he would say, well, I don't expect you to help me. What a blow that would be. I'd give my life to help people. Well, if I would feel badly about that, how do we think the Holy Spirit feels? When all of this kind of a very personal provision has been made in your life and mine, and we have the kind of an attitude day by day, we just go through the day without any kind of a real expectation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to have to pray for one another about that. Notice the next verse. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. How important the power of God, the Holy Spirit working in the lives of people through his ministry. How important that was to Paul. The next verse, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, there it is, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. My comment in capital B, these verses, these references to the power of God not only indicate the sovereign execution of the divine plan, the all-pervasive conviction of sin, the transforming work of regeneration, the preservation of the church, but in particular, they refer to that divine enablement given to every believer so that the Christian life may be lived successfully. Now, there may be a few of you here this evening, and you have never heard about this. It may be that you've never realized that you were given a divine helper so that you could live your daily life successfully. Well, I want you to know that you have all of the rights and the privileges of this helper. As the Apostle Paul, all of us have this. This is all ours in Christ. And I want to make it very clear, this 10-week session. Capital C, it's vitally important to understand that this divine enablement is always associated with three great truths. First of all, the person and work of the Lord Jesus. The comment, this is the source of the power. The person of Jesus Christ, our representative, his work for us in the crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and the day of Pentecost. Number two, the written word of God. This is the means whereby we know of God's power and how to be a recipient of that power. The Bible is like a blueprint to pattern our daily life. Thirdly, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. He is the administrator of that power. The Holy Spirit dwells within the believer to teach us the truth and to lead us to respond to God by faith, love, and hope, so the power of God may be a part of our daily life. This is why he's called the believer's helper. You notice that I have all of those parts here upon the overhead projector this evening. And you're right in the middle of it. There you are. On page 4, the personality of the Holy Spirit. Capital A, the Holy Spirit is a person as affirmed by his attributes of personality. First of all, the attribute of intellect in Acts 16:7, and after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, parts of what we call Turkey today, but the Holy Spirit suffered them not. So here now is the concept of intellect. Number two, the attribute of emotion, Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Thirdly, the attribute of will, 1 Corinthians 12:11. And all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, that is every person, severally as he will. These indications ought to be a real encouragement to us. The encouragement that there is in your life and mine, the provision of practical guidance, the encouragement that he loves us, and the encouragement that he makes choices to be involved in our daily life. Now, there isn't anything theoretical or standoffish in the ministry of the blessed Holy Spirit. Now, we may not have learned how to live, and we may not live so that we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean he isn't with us. We may not see the manifestation of the power of God and the working of the Holy Spirit the way we ought to in our daily life. But that doesn't mean the provision isn't there. It's all there. We need to learn how to utilize the great provision that God has made in the blessed Holy Spirit. Capital B, the Holy Spirit is a person as affirmed by his work. First of all, he convicts of sin. John 16:8, when he has come, the Lord Jesus said, he will reprove, or convict is a good word, the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. And he does convict every person, every saved and every unsaved person. He deals with every person on the basis of righteousness, right and wrong. And there's a conviction that comes to the life of every person. Secondarily, he teaches the believer, John 15:26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, this is the great work of the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer. Thirdly, he guides the believer in John 16, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Again, guidance for every believer. Fourthly, he prays for the believer in Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with the groanings that we cannot utter. Now, what a great comfort that is. So many, many times in my life, I've been so grateful that I knew that the blessed Holy Spirit was praying for me. Not only the Lord Jesus, who is our great high priest, praying for us in heaven, but the blessed Holy Spirit praying for us, and he is with us, praying with us. Now, you see what I mean about that matter of a too low level of expectation? You understand what we should do when we open the Bible. Trust the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God. He has been sent to teach us the truth and to guide us into the truth. And when we get on our knees to pray, to trust the Holy Spirit to enable us to pray, to give us discernment, to enable us to worship God, to cooperate with the blessed Holy Spirit. Number five, he instructs the church, Acts 15:28. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So every true church is taught by the Holy Spirit. The observation, all of these verses remind us that we cannot approach this great subject in any impersonal way. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an influence or a power. We must learn to respond to him as a person and live day by day in his presence. Well, what would we say if we were going to put this on the board? If we would write now the title of the Holy Spirit, what could we say from all of these passages that we have seen? Well, we could use this now as a title, and we could say, for example, such words as we recognize him to be a great person, a great person. Secondarily, we can say from all of the provision that he has made for us that he is a loving person who intimately cares for us. So my emphasis here in all of these simple verses that thrill us is a reminder that we're not dealing with some kind of a divine influence only. We're working with the third person of the Trinity, the blessed Holy Spirit himself, who has come to us. He is a great person. That's a tremendous understatement, but I'm not through with the diagram. And he is a loving person. Right. That's still an understatement, but I'll work on it in a moment. Notice number five, page five, please, Roman numeral two. Here the Holy Spirit is emphasized as deity in these verses. Capital A, the Holy Spirit is called God. Called God, Acts 5, verse 3 and 4. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Well, that makes it very, very clear. Now, that brings something into your life and mine. It's very important for us to understand this evening. And that is that our helper is God himself. And that's what I want to write here on the overhead projector. The blessed Holy Spirit is not only a great person and not only a loving person. The blessed Holy Spirit is a divine person. And now the diagram's all right. This one that we're talking about, as you know, this one who has been sent into your life and mine to be our helper is more than just a great person and more than just a loving person. He is a divine person. Now, the implications of that really overwhelm us when we stop to think about it. A divine person. Notice capital B, the Holy Spirit has the attributes of deity. Number one, the attribute of truth, 1 John. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There we have it now, the attribute of truth. The attribute of love in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The attribute of holiness, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let me stop there and ask you to think about the implication of that verse. If we can be kind and loving to one another, and if we can make a provision for one another, and all of us do, not only for our loved ones and close family, but for many, many others, how much more God wants us to realize that he loves and cares for us and that he has made a overwhelming kind of a provision for us. The blessed Holy Spirit of God. Not only the provision in the representative work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that. Not only the Word of God that is an overwhelming thought to realize that we have God's Word in a variety of good translations. And it's a completed canon. But we have one who has been sent to us to make it all real, the blessed Holy Spirit. No wonder I call him not only a great and loving, but a divine person. And he is your helper and mine. The next verse, number four, the attribute of eternality. In Hebrews 9, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, the eternal Spirit. Number five, the attribute of omniscience, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now here again is a great encouragement and comfort that the blessed Holy Spirit knows everything about the past, present, and future, everything about your past and present and future. He knows all about the will of God, the plan of God in your life and mine. He knows how things are going outside and inside. He knows everything because he's omniscient. And he has been sent to be our helper. How overwhelming that ought to be. What a testimony of God's loving care. How it should shock us to realize our low level of expectation. Our sinful attitude about this. How often we struggle along in the Christian life in our own strength. Capital C, the Holy Spirit is given equal recognition as deity along with God the Father and God the Son. Here's the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name. Notice it's singular. The name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you see what God calls himself here? He calls himself by the name, singular, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The last verse on that page, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All of these verses now indicate his deity. Page 6, please. These verses bring before us a great truth. The Holy Spirit is God. He is worthy of all of the worship, adoration, reverence, sacrifice, and service that could ever be given to him. Think how great he is, the infinite and absolute God of moral perfection. When we unite this truth with the realization that he is our daily helper, the impact takes our spiritual breath away. Well, now let me talk with you for a moment or two about helpers. About helpers. You know, helpers come in three different varieties, like the old Sears Roebuck catalog of good, better, and best. You ever thought about that? Do you realize that somewhere in the world tonight there is the best helper in all the world, the best helper? Now let's use our imagination and say that the best helper in all the world, the best friend and helper would be in the United States. Let's stretch our imagination and say that he'd be in Grand Rapids. And then that he would be right here in our auditorium. Now what a wonderful thing it would be to have a friend, a helper like that. The best helper and the best friend in all of the world. Think how nice it would be to have a person like that to help you and to be your daily friend. Well, I want you to know that you have one like that. You do. Number three, I'm on the middle of page six now. The titles of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter in John 14, 16 to 18. Here's the text now this evening. And I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I'll not leave you comfortless or orphans. I will come to you. The observation now. The promises and instruction in these verses is overwhelming. Just before his death, the Lord Jesus made this provision for all believers of a comforter. The term another means one of the same kind. The word comforter means one called alongside to help and may be translated helper. When the Lord Jesus made this provision for another comforter, for all believers, he was referring to the same kind of ministry that he had had with the disciples. He also promised to come to us in the coming of the Holy Spirit. These verses present the theme of these lessons. When we see the meaning of this biblical teaching, it causes us to be encouraged, but also ashamed. We're encouraged because of the promises related to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, our helper, and ashamed because of the low level of expectancy. We've not responded to him in all of the ways that he's worthy of faith, love, and hope. We must pray together that there will be a change in our attitude about this. Many of us are living a subnormal Christian life. The reason may be due to a lack of instruction, or rebellion, or wrong priorities, or some emotional or spiritual wound, or simply self-centeredness. Whatever the reason for our failure may be, the provision of God is adequate if applied. We have a helper. Now, for weeks, I have been wondering what I can do to really get under your spiritual skin about this. I have just been wondering and thinking and praying. Because, you see, when I have a series like this, it's gone forever. I can't just say, well, I don't think you got it. Let me do it again. You know how that goes? So I'm really concerned now as I go through this that I somehow get to you, that I reach into your life in some way and help you to see what God wants to do. You have a spiritual helper in the blessed Holy Spirit. Notice capital B. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel, might of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord in Isaiah 11:2. You see the verse there, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, talking about the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The comment, these titles all indicate what the Holy Spirit was going to be in the life of the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. We see the manifestation of all this in the four Gospels. Now that the Holy Spirit has been given to all believers, we realize that he dwells within us to enable us to have wisdom and understanding, to give us counsel and strength, to teach us to know the Lord, and to be reverent before him. Now you see, this is the provision that God has made, that the truth might be a reality, the power of God might be manifested, that reverence might be a daily characteristic, that reading the Bible and praying might have meaning in our daily life. And the Holy Spirit has been sent to do all of that in your life and mine. Page 7. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace and supplication, Zechariah 12:10. The verse reads, and I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. The observation, this verse indicates a ministry to the Jewish people that's yet future. The Holy Spirit will bring a deep conviction to them in regard to the crucifixion and rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This will cause a turning of many to Christ. This emphasizes the greatness of the Holy Spirit and the power of his ministry. This title also indicates how he desires to work in us as believers. Through his inner working, we can know and live in the experience of the grace of God and be enabled to pray effectively. Now, let me put another diagram on the board. I'm not going to be able to complete this because the material is too much. Now, here we would say this is our daily life, and here you are living out your daily life. You understand that God has made this kind of a provision in your life and mine now of a helper. And everything that we're finding in these titles now can be written as a part of our daily life and daily experience. All of this now, we have this divine provision of God sending the helper into your life and mine. And just think about all of these verses that have to do with the titles of the blessed Holy Spirit. And all of this now, to some degree, can be a part of your life and mine. It overwhelms us to realize that. And here we have his title, the Spirit of Grace and Supplication. Capital D. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were, Paul said, such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The observation, this verse reminds us of the deity of the Holy Spirit. The emphasis here is on his powerful working in the life of the believer. In the plan of God, it's the Holy Spirit who applies the work of the Lord Jesus to the repentant believer. The evidence of this inner transformation is seen in the words washed, sanctified, justified. Who can measure the value of such blessings? Now let's go back in our mind's eye as to what happened at Corinth. Corinth was that infamous city of immorality. Everybody all through that known world was suspicious of any person who was born, raised, or lived for any period of time in Corinth. It was wholly given over to an immoral, occult way of life. And that was the very city that to which Paul was sent. Now, we know what happened when Paul went there. He went there and in fear and trembling, as he said in the two epistles. So we have in the New Testament about this. He preached the word of God. He preached in fear and trembling. And we know exactly what started to happen. The Holy Spirit of God started to convict people and started to work in their lives, made the words of Paul as he preached the gospel to be a source of conviction and humbling and cutting in the lives of these non-Christians. Some of them started to receive Christ as Savior. They started to be born again. And here now, by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, that little church at Corinth was born and grew and grew and grew. And so Paul could write back, giving a long list of sins in that passage, 1 Corinthians 6. And then he could say, but such were some of you. Such were some of you. And I want to tell you that all of us here in this lovely auditorium, we fit into that same kind of pattern. We all have the same kind of a past. We've all come through the same kind of a ministry. The blessed Holy Spirit took the word of God and made it a reality in our lives, humbled and convicted us, and here we are. We're the product of it. We're the fruit of the work of the blessed Holy Spirit. What a comfort that is to understand that. Did the people at Corinth have problems? Yes, the most problematical church in the whole New Testament. Do you represent churches and families? And do you have problems? Yes, yes. Is there any person here who doesn't have a problem? You're a displaced person. You belong in heaven. Every person on earth has problems. You have to face that and understand that. But we have a helper. And all of these good things can be written into your life. And all of these good things can be a part of your daily experience. All of these good things can be characterized by the theme we started with this evening, the power of God. He has been sent to be the Spirit of Truth, so that might be manifested in your life and mine in the power of God. He has been sent into your life and mine to be our helper, our comforter, to guide us. All of that to be characterized by the power of God. No end to what he wants to do. He wants to help us to pray, help us read the Word of God, help us to witness, help us to live, help us to get over our anger. And all of that manifested in your life and mine as the power of God. Notice capital E, I'm on the middle of page 7. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of promise in Ephesians 1:13, in whom the Lord Jesus Christ ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The comment. Throughout the Old Testament, it was prophesied that the day would come when the Holy Spirit would be given in a new way. When the Lord Jesus gave his farewell discourse, he explained that the Holy Spirit would soon be given to the believers as the Old Testament promised. This theme in the Bible was made a part of the name of the Holy Spirit. This promise was fulfilled when he was given equally to all believers on the day of Pentecost. Now here we are, we're the product of it. Now let me just emphasize that word equally. Now you, I'm sure, think that you have your pastor or your missionary would have the Holy Spirit in a different way for the living of the Christian life than you. That's not true. Now, the blessed Holy Spirit has anointed a person who's been called into a full-time, so-called full-time service with unusual gifts, maybe of the exposition of the Word of God or preaching or church planting. All right, we're not talking about that. We're talking about how to live the Christian life. Every one of us have exactly the same provision in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You have the same provision that Paul made, that was made by the Lord for Paul and the Holy Spirit so that he could live successfully. Or George Whitfield, or John Calvin. The Bible's very clear on that. First Ephesians 1:3 states that we have all been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And we're talking about one of them, the believer's helper. All have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Now, we need to accept that. Now, we need to accept it by faith. And we need to accept it by faith with an expectancy. And we need to accept it by faith with an expectancy and implement it in our daily life by a very aggressive trust of the Holy Spirit to make all of this real in your life and mine. Notice capital F. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. My observations on page 8. Again, we're reminded of the plan of God and the part that each member of the Trinity has chosen to play in its fulfillment. The Holy Spirit is not only given by the Father, but also by the Son. His particular task is to apply the work of the Lord Jesus to all those who believe. Because of this, he is called the Spirit of Christ. His very presence in our lives indicates our relationship to the Lord Jesus. His indwelling and ministry to us is the evidence that we are the genuine article. Well, here's our first diagram again. Do you see the relevancy of that now? Here we are rooted and grounded in the person of the Lord Jesus, his work, and in his word. And the Holy Spirit has been sent now to make all of that real day by day. No wonder he is called the Spirit of Christ. He has come to be our helper. Capital G on page 8. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of life. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. This title of the Holy Spirit instructs us in one of the most important facets of his working. He brings eternal life to the believer through that great work called the new birth. Through the fall of man and our own sinfulness, we are dead to God. The Holy Spirit has made us alive to God. No wonder he's called the Spirit of life. And I believe that most of us here, almost all of us in this auditorium, can testify to the fact that we have been made alive. Now, if there's someone here tonight and you're not sure about the new birth, oh, I'd count it a great privilege to talk with you. Don't be embarrassed about this now. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there would be some person here tonight and the Holy Spirit would be dealing with you and would want you to express yourself to him by way of repentance and faith. That's happened a number of times in a Thursday night Bible class, a number of times. I'm just happy for that. Capital H, the Holy Spirit is called a spirit of adoption. Romans 8:15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby or through his work we cry, Abba, Father. The Christian is one who has been adopted by God. And this is a direct reversal of our former state of alienation. As an adopted child, the believer's many rights and privileges freely given to him. All of these are given to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The emphasis in this verse is on the benefits of sonship. We must believe this great truth that we've been adopted with its comfort of acceptance, forgiveness, freedom, and the ability to pray, whereby we call God our Father. Now, I have a word here that's very important in that observation. It's the word acceptance. All of us now sense tremendously and acutely our rejection. We all sense our alienation from God. We're all intuitively aware, particularly when things are going poorly in our life. We sense alienation. That doesn't mean we're alienated from God as believers, but we sense that. The Holy Spirit has been sent into your life and mine to make real this great spiritual truth of our acceptance, to make it real by way of an experience, so that we might enjoy emotionally in fellowship with God our acceptance. Now, we all need that if we're going to live the Christian life successfully. Some of us here in this auditorium, we've been raised in a home where we were never accepted. When you reached out, there was no one to help. When you spoke, nobody heard. When you asked for help, nobody responded. That's not the way it is with God. He wants us to know that we're accepted. Ephesians 1:6 talks about being accepted in Christ. And the Holy Spirit has been sent into your life and mine to make that a powerful experience, an emotional a sense of assurance, acceptance. My last verse. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace, Hebrews 10:29. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he, the Lord Jesus, was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. This is a serious warning. One facet of the work of the Holy Spirit is that of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through the believer. When a person hears the gospel and rejects it, he's insulting the Holy Spirit and treating his ministry with contempt. We must remember that we're not talking of an angel or of a divine influence. When we speak of the Holy Spirit, we're speaking of God. He is the Spirit of grace in that he makes the grace of God, makes known the grace of God, and brings its beneficial effects into the life of the repentant and believing sinner. I hope there's no one here in the auditorium this evening as a non-Christian that has been in your heart now. I know that in courtesy you'd never do it outwardly, but maybe in your heart saying, well, I just do not believe all of that. The reason I put all of these verses in is to show you that this is not something that I have simply conjured up in my mind. I hope in your own heart you have an open willingness to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then the conclusion. Not one of us understands how great, and it should be, how wonderful our helper is. We must pray together about this and learn to correctly respond to him. So I want to sincerely ask you as your teacher now for these 10 weeks that you pray. Pray for me, pray for yourself, pray for one another. Let's pray together that the blessed Spirit of God would be able to reach us, to work in us, to get involved in our life in the way that he wants to. Now, you know, I've already mentioned our problem. Our problem is practical spiritual neglect. We neglect him. We pray neglecting the Holy Spirit. We read the Bible neglecting the Holy Spirit. We go off to work or we meet some person and we want to talk to about the Lord to them, and we neglect the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now let's settle that. Let's ask God when we, as soon as we get up in the morning, let's just quietly ask God to work in us, to help us to understand the provision in such a great helper. Let's ask him to teach us through the day, to cure us of this low level of expectation that sinfully gripped every one of us. Let's ask him to cure our terrible neglect. Well, I want you to know I'm going to be praying a great deal for you. Let's bow together now to pray. Now, loving Father, we're acutely embarrassed this evening. We've gone through these verses and we're ashamed that these verses are in the Bible and not very often or very deeply in our daily life. We do, together as a class, we apologize to you. We accept the indictment that we neglect you. And we have such a lack of faith, such a practical lack of faith. Oh, Lord God, look upon us in your mercy. Call us back. Bring us into a new life of dependency upon yourself. Now watch over us, dear Father, on these slippery roads. Magnify yourself in our lives, in our families, and in our churches, we pray, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his honor. Amen.
Thanks for being with us for this lesson in our series, The Holy Spirit, the Believer's Helper. We hope that you'll take time to listen to each of the lessons in this series, and we also have a number of other topics that are available for study, so be sure to look for those when you visit our website at drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org.